All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
It's like I have a debt to pay to them guys. We're going to win a Stanley Cup for them.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the In the Dome podcast. Okay, man, we left the last podcast saying that we would do a series preview, but then basically a couple hours after we recorded, my bro and I decided we're going to games one and two. At first, we're like, no, let's just go to two. And then we're like, well, we're going. Last time, it was such a fucking long drive. You get the fucking detour. Adds an hour and a half onto the trip. If we're going to go anyways, might as well go to see two games. They're within a short enough distance. Increases your chance of seeing a fucking win. Thank God we did. Because game one was great. Game two, not so great.
And then dipshit over here, I only go to game two, of course.
Yeah. So, what is with the game twos, dude? We have this is the latest curse. Like you always say, the Calgary Flames, they have to have some sort of weird,
yeah.
We have to be the team that sucks at something. That is, and they even like, you're sitting there in game one. The roof is literally about to pop off the dome. Like, we're dominating these assholes. The Oilers fans were, like, stuck glued to their seats. Meanwhile, we're just, like, jumping up every 2 seconds. By the fourth goal, I was literally high-fiving over top of Oilers fans, right in their face to the fans above them. It was the greatest ever. And then they fucking come back and tie the game.
6-6, no less.
And I remember I was on social media in the intermission. And Kent Wilson's like, can it just ever be easy? Can it? The answer is no. It's the Calgary Flames. It has to be flamesy. So that's what we're in for right now. But is there anything from the series preview? I know you did a lot of work on Instagram. Probably all the show notes you were going to discuss anyways. You probably got out there into the social network realm. So it's out there. But before we dive into these two games, was there anything you wanted to, any groundwork you wanted to lay in terms of what this series is going to be like matching up? We've probably already seen it playing out.
Yeah, I think we've seen it playing out to a T. And like, honestly, I didn't really know what to expect heading into this series. And I don't think anybody expected what happened in game one. Or to be perfectly honest, what has happened to the first two games again? Like, I didn't expect there to be all this dumb freaking officiating garbage again.
Well, I did. I called
like,
that.
I just can't believe it's still persisting. Like, this is playing out like exactly beat for beat how the first two games. I mean, the scores are wildly different. But I mean, in terms of game story, like, I don't know, like game one's kind of like you win and it's awesome. And game two is a letdown, but marred by terrible officiating and 19 hours of 4-on-4 bullshit.
Dude, officiating game two. And it's the same guy, dude.
Freaking Chris Lee, is this his name?
And yeah, Chris Lee. Who's the other guy?
Well, I thought Wes McCauley was doing this series. I gotta be honest. My memory of last night's game yesterday's game are a little fuzzy because I only watched it and I haven't brought myself to watch the highlights or anything in depth. So I'm a little fuzzy on yesterday. That's why. Because I swear to God, I started watching it. I was like, I gotta watch the highlights before the show. I freaking turned it on and all I hear is just how much everybody wants to touch Connor McDavid's pee-pee, so I couldn't do it. So sorry if my notes on game two are just based solely on my rage-induced memories from Friday night.
It's interesting. I just watched the highlights, too, because we got in late. Like, that was a late fucking game, dude. We get home till like 12:30. And we were staying. It was like a six-minute walk from the Dome. I mean, we were fucking around.
I didn't get home till like 1:30.
Yeah. And then we got up and left on the road right away. So, you know, I got home, took care of some shit. And I'm like, okay, let's record this. And we're looking at the fucking highlights. But I was just looking at it on the NHL. And, oh, my God, where is this broadcast feed? It was an American feed. During the game, I'm getting text messages.
Dude, same.
There's social media notifications. It's like, I can't stand watching this fucking game. I need to mute it. We already knew that was going to come.
That's the one series preview thing that has that I expect that is playing out just as I expected it.
So I don't know, man. I'm going to try and find a different feed. I don't want to watch these fucking loser broadcasters that just want to touch McDavid's pee-pee.
Dude, like, it's ridiculous. Like, it's honestly ridiculous. So the touching the PP comment, and we'll get into the game specifics, but the first highlight you see, and like you said, like, it's game seven post game. Johnny Gaudreau scores overtime winner. And what are we hearing? Oh, Connor McDavid.
Dude, it was literally a highlight pack of Connor McDavid. That was the discussion after the Flames win. That's what they were like. It was just like, okay, now let's look at Connor McDavid, everybody. So, some more, because, you know, we haven't seen enough of it. We need more. We need more Connor McDavid. Do you think if he wasn't the ugliest bastard of all time, it wouldn't be so fucking painful to watch and listen to?
Well, listen, I don't
kind of do.
Yeah,
I do. Why couldn't this guy be like, I don't know, Elias Lindholm handsome? Or even just like Sidney Crosby, normal looking. Could you just be normal looking?
Well, and not even just ugly, which he is ugly. And apparently, some people are taking to our fence of
fuck off
of being so critical of Mick Neckbeard. So
whatever, dude. The amount of fence.
Sorry, guys.
If you're listening and you take offense, don't worry. The fence you feel doesn't fucking match the offense that I feel looking at this bum.
So, and the other thing is like, okay, he's ugly, but like, this is, I'm honestly curious, like, do people like him? Like, cause here's what's weird to me about McDavid as a hockey fan. Like, and I don't know, this is why I'm curious, is like, for me to be able to parse out how much I hate the Oilers and how much I hate him because he's on the Oilers and how much I actually hate him and dislike him and don't like him is different for people who aren't fans of the Flames who hate the Oilers and have to play this dweeb every fucking night and see his dumb, ugly face every night and see us see him embarrass our team every night. Like, I'm genuinely curious across the league, if you're just a hockey fan, like, do you like Connor McDavid? Like, you like Sidney Crosby or Alex Ovechkin or like any star of the past 20 years? Cause I sure as shit don't. And I'd be surprised if people do, because he doesn't have any personality. He's not likable. It's weird. Like, this is probably a lot of my Flames bias, but I do think there's got to be something more to this. Like, he is so unlikable. It's ridiculous. Am I way off on this?
Well, what's there like? He's about as ugly to look at as a fucking dirty diaper. And he's got the personality of a fucking doorknob.
Like, seriously.
Look, respect. I respect the skill. I do.
Oh, I do too. But it's just, but like, I don't.
I will be honest. I would respect the hell of a lot of it more if it wasn't fucking playing for the same fucking team that had Gretzky.
Gifted to them twice.
Which draft pick was this? Which number one? How much?
I don't know.
Number fifth? Along the was lines of. See, even that, it's just like.
We've never had one. We've never even picked in the top three.
Well, even. No one has. Well, some have, but. I mean, at the point, this is not even, it's not even about us. It's fucking just about the fucking Oilers.
It's just, I find it odd because, like, as a hockey fan, like, I love Sid, right? Like, I love Sid since he was playing junior and I was hyped about him. And, you know, I loved Ovi. I loved all these guys.
Malkin.
Like, dude, I love Malkin. Are you kidding me?
Who, like, don't you love?
Even these other stars that have, like, beat us, like, don't you love watching Nate McKinnon play? I love Nathan
McKinnon. I do. I love Nate McKinnon.
Even though he destroyed us.
I love Matt Barzal.
Yeah.
I love Makar.
Watching Cale Makar is awesome, and I love Cale Makar. I watch Connor McDavid, and I'm like, you're such a dipshit. I hate you.
I hate your fucking
I hate your dumb guts. Face.
You know what I realized? Because we were talking about the Sedin twins not too long ago. Ladies and gentlemen, I figured it out. Connor McDavid is the Sedin twins in one. He's them combined.
Okay, and I'll figure it out. Okay.
Right? You got the two little alien babies come together. And they make this thing. Like that one picture you took, it was circulating after game one. Shot of him on the bench. Just like, dude, your head looks like a square. You got to.
Why is his forehead so big?
Why does everything seem to be bulging everywhere in the wrong fractal dimensions, right? And the fucking neck beard. Could you? Would you? Connor, has anybody ever taught this guy to shave, you know, to carve some shape into the beard? I'm curious.
I'll go further on your Sedin twins. Have you ever seen these people? Like, they have like a, they have like a growth, like a partial like twin on them.
With a fucking Siamese.
Like, yeah, like it's like, but it's like they absorb their twin like in utero or some shit. Like, that's Connor. He's got like a half.
That's probably why he's so good, dude.
Yeah, he's got like the strength of Connor, you know what? McDavid plus like a little creature that like lives on him.
I think you're onto something, dude. He's probably some sort of radioactive. He's like a fucking super. He's definitely not a superhero.
He's a super villain of some kind.
He's a super something. I mean, God, dude. Best player. Like,
well, we were just talking about this. Like, he's that good? Like, you watched that goal he scored against us last night, where like Zadorov, Nikita Zadorov, who's 6'5", what, 220?
Zadorov, like, plays him.
Good this guy is, that Zadorov lays into him and bounces off him like he's freaking Superman
and then falls.
And then Zadorov falls. And then Connor just like dangles Jacob Markstrom, who was, you know, only a Vezina nominee and had the most shutouts in the entire league this year, and made him look like a buffoon. Like, he's that good. He's that strong on his skates. Apparently. It's unbelievable.
This is, I don't think I've seen him do this. Like, I mean, I've seen Sid do
that all the time.
But, dude, that's Zadorov, and I get it. He's pretty quick and shifty. So when you go to hit him, he's kind of already gone. And so now you're hitting a moving piece of something that's rare, not even really there. So now you're out of balance. But I think Daryl would say, use your stick. Like, you got to try and contain him. You're not going to eliminate him, right? Like, if you're in open space like that and it's considered a one-on-one, you're not going to lay him out. It's just not going
to
happen.
Well, you've seen two people try to do that. Dubé and Zadorov, both.
Well, how about Anderson? Yeah. Was that the first goal or the second goal? The third goal. I don't know.
I don't even know. He scored so many. He's got 20 points in 9 games.
He set up 2 goals. One was Rasmus Anderson behind the net. Same thing. Rasmus Anderson, who's pretty big and pretty strong. He's pretty sturdy. Exact same thing. He goes to hit him, and it's just like Connor evades him and is too strong on his feet, and then he goes and sets up the goal. Bingo, bango, bongo. So I don't know. Like, you're not going to eliminate this guy. If it's a one-on-one situation, we saw some finishing of hits, and we saw if you're in the corner or along the boards and he only has 2 or 3 possible directions to go, we've seen you can probably rub him out. But I don't think this decor, or even the centerman for that matter, whoever's playing him down low, should try and be eliminating him one-on-one. Just try and contain the damage. That's all I think you can do.
Well, yeah, you have to, like, just
because he's gonna blow by you.
Yeah, you gotta just let him, I guess, just skate around and just like hold him, try to keep him to the outside. If you challenge
stick him, check, you gotta stick check.
He's beaten right? them 3 times on a direct challenge and made them look like absolute morons. It's insane.
I mean, I've been watching a lot of hockey with my brother this season since we moved up to BC, but I mean, he was saying that Connor is interesting because typically guys that are really skilled one-on-one, they make a few moves as they're coming towards you. Connor McDavid just skates directly at you as fast as he possibly can, knowing that by the time you react, he's already like 2 moves. Mm-hmm. He's already 2 moves deep. And now you're like, you're going to get caught flat-footed. He's really hard to defend one-on-one. And then he's got the other bag of tricks. So this is the best he's played against us, man. Like, I mean, in the past, and these have been regular season games, he's put on a show. But what we've seen in the last 2 games is beyond what we've seen.
Dude, he scored 4-on-4 last night after the goal was disallowed. He did that out of spite, and it was unbelievable.
And this is why I can't stand Oilers fans or the Oilers or anything Oilers related for that matter. There's zero humbleness in having the greatest player since Wayne Gretzky. Zero. Do you know what I mean? It's like
there's zero thankfulness, you know?
Exactly. Zero thankfulness, zero humbleness. He does what he does. And then you're sitting there in the opposing team and it's like, that's not fair. How is this fair? Why is he so much better than the rest of the world? Right? It's kind of like, we need a handicap. Like, you go into golf, you know, when you're younger and you play in these tournaments, you have a handicap, right? Well, yeah, usually shoot around, you know, 10 over or whatever. Okay, well, you know, you gotta have a handicap. The rest of the league needs a handicap.
Well, I mean, and again, I don't think it hits Flames fans. This is what pisses me off the most is like, why do we get in this freaking situation where like twice in 40 years, the 2 best players to ever play hockey just happen to play for our biggest rival who always play us all the time. And now we're meeting them in the playoffs again. Like, do you know how many Stanley Cups the Calgary Flames would have had in the 80s if they didn't play in the freaking Western Conference and have to play Edmonton in the playoffs every freaking year? like 100. They would have won the Stanley Cup every year that Edmonton didn't.
Oh, we'd have 5.
Like, it's just ridiculous. Like, why 5. Are we cursed with this shit? So we'd that's what 5. Is extra burning for Flames fans. Is like, yeah, the rest of the league, you don't have to freaking deal with this. Gretzky scored like 200 points a year and 90 goals and 150 points in every playoff series against us. And we won. We are fortunate enough to win one Stanley Cup. The only way we beat them in a playoff series is because they scored on their own freaking net once.
Smitty. Hey, same last name.
Funny how that works.
He almost scored himself, eh? See that?
Which last time?
Game. Last game.
Dude.
Yeah, which time?
We'll get to him, how annoying he is. He's just as annoying as Connor. And not
to wrap up the Connor thing, for all those reasons you just mentioned, if we want to talk about his disgusting-looking neck beard, we will talk about it. If we want to talk about his ugly fucking mug, we'll talk about that. Okay?
We've earned the right. And just one last comment on it. What I mean by the Oilers fans like not being thankful is like when Johnny Gaudreau has a good game or when Matthew Tkachuk has like a great game or when they just do something cool, like I'm always like, do you guys ever just like realize how freaking lucky we are to have these guys in Calgary? Do you realize? I never see that from them. I see Connor McDavid. Fuck you. It's like, I know.
No, it's like Johnny Gaudreau has an unbelievable game and he is an unbelievable player. But instead of Oilers fans being like, holy shit, yeah, who knows? He did have a good game. Wasn't as good as Connor's yesterday. It's like you could have a highlight pack of whoever it is in the league. Look in the comments. Connor did that earlier.
Wasn't as good as Connor's.
Connor did it better. Connor did it.
I gotta say, that's probably you. While we're insulting him, like Connor, what an awful name. Like, it sounds like every dipshit you went to like high school with, if you're from Canada.
Okay. Apologies in advance for any listeners named Connor. So yeah. Maybe I shouldn't agree with you.
I don't know.
But I will be honest. I was thinking about that the other day. I'm like,
yeah,
what a stupid name for a stupid person.
That's like a
What is there a better fitting name than Connor for this guy? Like, come on.
It's like one of those names. Yeah.
Look at his face. Look at his face. My favorite is he gets even uglier when he loses. Have you noticed? Actually, he just
gets redder.
Yeah, it seems to be when he's losing, he gets even uglier. The fuck is he ugly when he's winning too, isn't he? When he smiles, it's like, dude, could you not? I can't tell what I dislike more. You pouting with your fucking face bulging all over the place, or you smiling and you look like a fucking sewer rat just climbing out of the
I like him pouting when he's smiling after he just made our whole fucking team look like an AJHL team. That really pisses me off.
All right. We spend some time on Connor because that has been.
It's just a good. You got to release, especially if you're watching these games at home. Wow. Like it's just like if you're a Flames fan, this is so ridiculous.
Well, and dude,
I swear to God, Johnny Gaudreau could get on TV, cure cancer, freaking like shoot himself in a rocket to space, come back, score 10 goals, and I'd have to hear about Connor McDavid's butt hair on Sportsnet.
So true. You're not even exaggerating at all. The broadcast, like, it was my one of the people I was talking to. My mom's like, this is terrible. I have to listen to this. I'm like, that's the fucking best part about going to these games. You don't have to listen to the circle jerk nonstop. It's worth
the price.
So I don't know. If anybody listening has watched the first two games and you figured out a way around this, let me know. Because fuck is it, not only are you losing to the fucking guy.
Watch the TNT ESPN feed whenever you can.
Not only you have to watch the highlights that you've just seen in the game 6 million times, you got to watch the rest of his highlights for the whole season. For every goal he's ever scored. Everything he's ever done.
My favorite is the in-game stuff when it's like, okay, it's been like 15 minutes since he made a play or scored a goal, and they're still going back. Okay, let's track his speed on that one now. You'll see he's moving at 90 miles per hour. It's like that happened in the first period. It's like 6-1 Flames.
I wonder what the broadcast was like, actually. Well, you watched the first game. I think it was pretty bad.
the first game was bad.
When we were shit canning them. Take your pick.
I don't
take
watch
3-0, 4-1, 5-1, 6-2. When we were shit canning them,
9-6.
Was it still the same fucking guard?
I don't watch the intermissions. I can't watch the intermissions. That's what seems to be worse. It wasn't quite as bad on the commentary. Chris Cuthbert's okay. Craig Simpson's an Oilers guy, so he's always going to be like Connor. But I mean, they kind of got put in a hard spot when Matthew Tkachuk is owning the show and scoring 3 goals and chirping, asking Evander Kane if he wants some money. So they couldn't squeeze as much Connor love as they wanted to in that first game.
That was the great thing about having Edmonton and Calgary on staggered nights in round one, hey? Could you imagine if we played the same evening?
They wouldn't even broadcast the Flames game.
Imagine we played after them on the same night. I thought this was a Calgary-Dallas game.
We're just going to go back and track Connor McDavid's speed through the neutral zone one more time, guys.
Literally in between, not even intermissions, during the game, in between plays, they're doing Connor McDavid highlights. Probably.
Absolutely. Here's Sportsnet, gambling commercial, sports gambling commercial, Elliot Freeman's bald spot, 14-hour circle jerk of Connor McDavid, gambling commercial, some of the St. Louis game, gambling commercial, Connor McDavid circle jerks times 2, gambling commercial.
Have they found every celebrity under the sun yet to do these gambling commercials? How do you like the Shaq commercial?
Which one is that?
It's not gambling.
Icy Hot.
No, it's a new one. It's a new one where he's like, "I love Canada. I like poutine. What? I like hockey." Some sort of Canadian type brand. I don't know what it is, but
dude, what is it? I don't even understand, because like sports gambling is not even really legal in Canada yet, isn't it?
Dude, it must be, because
you get blasted with.
That's it.
Where are the parents? I hope there's lots of parents watching with their kids, because like this is akin to like freaking.
Why is Wayne Gretzky look like he's a
puffed up doll?
No, like in these commercials, he looks like he's digitalized.
Yeah, I know. He looks fake. He looks like he's a doll. It's like, is that Wayne Gretzky? And why is he just how much did he get paid for that? Here's the thing that they're so vague. Like, what is that even a commercial for? He's just fucking walking through some like mountains, CGI mountains, and it's like sports bet. It's like, what?
Bet all your money.
Fucking Jesse Pinkman is like, yo, bet your life savings on this parlay. Next time you go take a shit during the commercial, make sure you parlay Connor McDavid's time on ice and his speed and how many butthole hairs he has tonight. Yo, it's like, what? What is this? It's freaking weird, man. They got to cool it with this.
Yeah, they got to cool it.
Like, there's 15 different freaking, like, there's kids watching, you guys. Why don't you just freaking go on there and advertise smoking, too? I don't know. I don't sports gamble, so maybe I'm just a fucking loser and don't get it, but.
Well,
yeah.
It can't be much different than the casino.
And like, even on Instagram, like, okay. Like, I'm going to go on off a tangent. I've already gone off on like 15 tangents, but like, it gets a little much when you have to fucking Elliot Freeman's like doing sports odds now. What the hell is going on? Is this whole thing, is the NHL, like, what is this? This is just a whole freaking,
this is the new
like, normal. The whole league is just promoting gambling from dawn till dusk. What is this?
We found a way to make new money. This is Gary Bettman. We're like, going to steal it from everybody. Bettman, we're going to become our own virtual casino.
How many times is Connor McDavid going to hold Rasmus Anderson's stick tonight? What's the over? It's like you can bet on anything. It's insane. Well,
but would it be the actual, or would it be? It'd be zero, right? He never holds anybody's sticks.
No, never.
That'd be pretty frustrating.
More accurate would be how many times does he get a penalized for a penalty, which is fucking zero.
Which is now a good time to put the DraftKings ad in or?
Perfect timing. Now you have to hear sports gambling ads from us. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use the promo code THPN, bet $5 on any NHL team to win, and get $100 in free bets no matter what. That code is THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See the show notes for details.
Game one. Okay, so apparently we have hurricanes in Calgary now since I left. Come back and it's fucking hurricane.
Oh, you didn't appreciate the snow and the rain and the freaking windstorm?
I just didn't realize we had hurricanes there. So the red lot gets fucking canceled. And then apparently there's damage, so game two is canceled.
What damage? Here's the damage. The freaking place is a shithole. I'm sorry, I'm going on these rants, but like they demolished the corral and it's literally like a freaking mud pit right now. It's just a shithole. It's brutal. So that's right adjacent to the red lot. So it's like if it rains, it's probably it's like a mudslide warning. It's terrible.
When we came in for his back to back games, it was Edmonton and the Capitals earlier in the season, regular season. We're walking up to the front of the dome. I'm like, where the fuck's the plus 15 gone? When did they take that off?
It's just rubble.
Like, did they even announce that? By the way, you come to the next game, plus 15's missing.
Dude, like, the freaking downtown Calgary looks like a slum these days. It's just
they're building something there. I don't know what
it is. What? What are they building?
I don't know. They don't tell us.
Solar panel delight, $300 trillion train. Just building a train that, like, just runs on solar power that's $400 trillion.
Don't
Looks
worry,
like shit, whatever it is.
Don't worry, it'll pay itself off. Never.
10,000 years.
We'll all be dead, so don't worry about it. So you roll up to game one, and you're like, okay, like, we talked about this on the game seven. When I'm watching game seven against Dallas, I literally lost all ability to think or feel anything. I'm just sitting there. And it was like a vegetable. It's the best way I can explain it. And I'm kind of carry that mindset into the second series. I'm like, I don't even know what to think. I'm not going to sit there and think positively. I'm not going to think negatively. And then you're getting game one. Crowd's going, it's great atmosphere. And there was a bunch more Coilers in game two than there was for game one. So that was nice too. Not as many Coilers fans in game one. Place is going bananas. And then fucking, who scored first? Lindholm.
Lindholm scores in the first shot of the game, like 20 seconds in.
Nobody expected this. Okay. Very first shift, very first shot. Lindholm comes down. Hey, it's a good shot. But on how many goaltenders in the league in the playoffs outside of this series does that go in on?
Well, and the two defensemen standing there like morons who somehow can't block the shot.
So, and after sitting in row three, we're like, we're not sitting there. It fucking sucks. Go to the second ball. You can see everything. We're on the attack end twice. So we're literally sitting right above Mike Smith and Elias Lindholm during this play. Place goes crazy. You take a little glance over at the other fans sitting near you. They're just slouched back down in their chair. They're just as shell-shocked as Mike Smith looks. Place is going nuts. Next shift. Next shot on goal. And Jumanji. The play, like, it then fucking Richie scores, man. It was fucking bananas in there, dude. It was bananas.
The best is when they score goals while Beasley's still announcing the goal. That's like my favorite thing ever.
Oh, man. It was just so amped up. Then Brett Ritchie decides to pass it to the best player in the world all alone in front. So kind of nullifies his goal there. Connor McDavid scores a sick goal. 3-1 to end the first. Like, oh, yeah, we're still looking pretty good. But I'm just sitting there like, it's the weather, so you can't count your chickens before they hatch. This game is far from over. Start the second period, more of the same. First shift, probably the first shot of the period. Blake Coleman scores. Place goes bananas again.
I missed it. I came back from a walk and it's like 4-1. Holy.
Blake Coleman scores again 5 minutes later. And you're like, holy fuck. It's, what is it?
5-1.
It's 5-1. We were shit canning these losers. At this point of the game, I'm literally going down two seats over and high fiving right over top of the Oilers fans, just right over their heads. Because I'm like, we got this in the bag. I can rub this in all I fucking want right now. No, no, you can't. It's fucking Flames. And Bouchard scores. But don't worry, Matthew Tkachuk scores. KK. We had, you know. And then the Oilers proceed to score 4 unanswered goals to tie the game. It's like it's 6-5 at the end of the second period. You're like, holy fuck. Are we going to hold on? What's going to happen? And then they tie it up. And then, oh, shit, there are some Oilers fans here tonight. Now they're all getting up. Pointing to each other from fucking 8 rows away.
Let's go Oilers.
Doing air high fives from fucking all these. They see an Oiler like 9 rows away. Wiping. Air high five. Yeah. They were feeling pretty good. And I was scared. But it was only a minute later till Rass. These goals are terrible, dude. Outside of Connor McDavid's first deep goal. Did every single goal go through the goaltender?
It was
like every single goal.
Unbelievable.
Every single goal hit the goaltender first and went in. This is the worst goaltending performance from both teams I've ever seen. Jacob Markstrom was fucking brutal that first game. Just like those 4 goals in a row were all bad.
Dude, did they have – the Oilers had like what? How many scoring chances did Edmonton have in that game? Like, 2. They had here 5-on-5. The Flames had 31 scoring chances. Edmonton had 14. The Oilers had 6 high danger chances at 5-on-5, and they scored 6 goals. Like, that's unheard of.
They should have never tied that game up, dude.
Dude, like it should have been. And I mean, we'll kind of get into this. I think it's a broader point, but like, I don't know what is with the Flames playing the Oilers, but even when it was 3-0, 3-1, 4-1, 5-1, it was just kind of in the back of my mind. I was like, I think I'm still uneasy.
Yep.
Like I wasn't thinking like, it's, yeah, they're like gonna come back and tie it up, but I'm like, I still don't feel comfortable.
It wasn't like Dallas when you're up 3-1, you're like, this one's over.
Yeah, I was just like, yeah, I, you know, like it's 5-1, but they gotta like just, you got to be careful here and just kind of.
Well, because you're sitting like, all they need is 2 power plays. Exactly. You know they're gonna get them.
Yeah, they're gonna get them every freaking night.
Floppy McFlopperson McDavid. Like, it's gonna be flop anymore in this guy. How about Johnny Gaudreau gets an embellishment call when this guy should probably get an embellishment call every single time there's a penalty called against him?
Johnny Gaudreau weighs 100. What? He's listed as 150 pounds. Guy's 150 pounds soaking wet. Evan Bouchard's like 6 foot, whatever, probably close to 200 pounds. Freaking. Almost breaks his stick over his back while he's skating at full speed.
Embellishment.
And then, like, this is before Bouchard. So Coleman and Bouchard get into it. This is in game 2. And Coleman gets a penalty. You like Bouchard's flop? Coleman kind of shoves him in the chest, and dude goes down like he just got shot. And then how do you like McDavid? Like, dude, flop. Any chance he gets to flop, he's flopping. So I cannot believe
that. I love his new – I like his new one. I like his new one.
Which one? This is a good technique.
Yeah, he grabs the defenseman's stick,
yeah,
tucks it into his arm, right, and then he does it like this weird kind of back and forth, so it looks like the D-man is hooking him.
Yeah, that was my that's my favorite. That's why I had to stop watching the highlights, because the first thing I see from game 2 is Connor McDavid with an unbelievable play. He's got one hand on his stick. One hand pass to Duncan Keith. It's like, yeah, what is this other hand fucking doing? He's holding Rasmus Anderson's stick with all 5 of his fingers.
Nope.
No, actually, if you watch that play again, Anderson actually holds him. It's like, no, Anderson holds him out of desperation because he's got his fucking stick and the whistle's not going.
He doesn't do that.
Anyways, I felt uncomfortable, and it happened again last night, and my uneasiness is well-founded, apparently, because they blew a 5-1 and a 6-2 lead in a playoff game.
Well, we already know for the rest of the series, no lead save. Zero lead is safe. You could have a one-goal lead safe. Obviously, that's not safe. Or one-goal lead, obviously, that's not safe.
Well,
two-goal lead, we know that's not safe. Three-goal lead, not safe. Four-goal lead, not safe. Five-goal lead, not safe.
And listen,
a six-goal lead, probably not safe.
I mean, the way Markham's playing right now, maybe seven goals isn't even enough.
A seven-goal lead, I'm going to go ahead and say probably safe, but just...
And I mean, the thing I liked about what happened there is that the Flames didn't freak out, and they did get the next goal and then the next one and seal it.
They responded. Yeah.
So I like that. And I think that's been a common theme of this year and how Daryl's grown this team, is that they don't, for the most part, when shit goes sideways, they don't do what they did and they don't do what they've done in the past and fold like a tent. They do the opposite.
If that's Ward or Gulitzin's team, you lose 9-6.
Right. Instead, they win 9-6. And that's so what was weird about that first game is it was weird because after the game, everyone's like, oh, the Flames played terrible. I was like, I thought they played freaking great, but Jacob Markstrom might have had the worst game he's ever played in his life.
See, that was the biggest difference, right? But we did look like we're like, and this is a big difference comparing the series to who you just played. Like, you come out of the Dallas series, there's no room for nothing all series long. There's not one inch was given in that Dallas series. There was game four in Dallas. We were up 3-1 for a bit, and they started opening up, and we
dominated them.
For the 5 minutes in the whole entire series, did they give you a couple inches? And then you're playing the Oilers, you're just like, I think they were probably like, holy fuck, we can just
do whatever
we want. We can enter the zone. We can shoot from the slot. Albeit Mike Smith is, how are these even going in, dude? He was the patented, like, that was classic Mike Smith, dude. That was a terrible performance.
Dude, he lets in the first two shots and first three of four and gets pulled. And has no shame about it, which is my favorite thing.
Dude, the crowd was an orgasmic delight from that end.
Dude, like, I can't even imagine. And, like, the crowd was giving it to him in game two, for sure. Especially after you let the first two in, which was awesome.
Yeah.
But that's the Mike Smith experience, like, right? Like, yeah, he was great in round one. But every time the guy goes to make a save is, like, a freaking, like, gas. Like, if you're an Oilers fan, we've been there. Every time the puck is shot in his direction, it's like, I don't know what's going to happen here.
Yeah, that's how I started to feel with Markstrom.
Markstrom started turning that direction too.
Yeah, but Markstrom's doing the same thing. So it's like, the reason why Smith's so bad is he plays on his goal line
and on his freaking knees all the time.
And that's what Markstrom was doing in game one. You're looking at these goals like, dude, why are you already on your knees when there's no traffic in front of you? It's literally just the guy coming around the net taking a shot. You're on your knees on the goal line.
Like, the Flames should have won that game 9-2.
Markstrom's got to adjust. Do you think he responded in game two? Daryl thought he did.
He wasn't as good as Mike Smith, so I think he was better, but, like, he can't be the second best goalie, especially when you're facing Mike Smith. And, like, you needed one big – I think he made one or two big saves. He makes one breakaway save. Like, holy shit, the Flames just get – you know what? How many breakaways I saw from the Calgary – against the Calgary Flames this year all season long? I can't even think of one.
Shit, eh?
And now they're giving him up, like, freaking candy. And he makes a save on Drysdale on a power play. But he needed – the Flames needed a big save, and he didn't give it to them last night, I didn't think. So – I don't know. Like, I kind of agree with Daryl. It's just like there's more issues than just Marks from last night, but it would have been nice if he made a save. Like, he's the best, one of the best goalies in the league. So,
dude, that game one where Mike Smith lets the first two shots in, and the crowd is just giving it to him, eh? Third one goes in, and it's just like he's getting the Bronx cheers. It was epic. He gets pulled. The crowd is chanting, "We want Smith." That first period, and well, let's say the first half of the game, I think that's the most fun I've ever had at a hockey game in my entire life.
And I'm sitting there at home going, yeah, I wish I had bought tickets. And then I'm 0-4 on my last four Flames playoff games.
Well, I think I'm 1-5 now. Like the last win that I've been at, and I've probably seen 6 playoff games, was the series clinching game against the Sharks in 04.
Wow.
20?
It's like 18 years ago. Almost 20 years ago.
18 years.
It was like game one takeaway. Again, that was what was so weird.
Can you believe like, that, dude? 18 years.
18 years since they won a game two. But I thought
that even was, when we win, it's fucking painful, man.
I thought that was Matthew Tkachuk at his peak, obviously. He gets a hat trick.
Okay, well, let's talk about this Tkachuk goal. Because Rask gives you the lead. And then it was right. So him, there was some controversy about this, right? Because Tkachuk and Kane get offsetting minors. And somehow, we already called this. We got to get used to this. Somehow now we also get an extra penalty, right? It's like, oh yeah, then there was only two guys.
I don't even know which one that was because there was so many where we get the extra. I have no freaking clue anymore.
But you have Shillington in the box with Tkachuk, and then you see on the highlight pack afterwards, or even watching the game, it's like Shillington's on the left, Chucky's on the right. They go back to the box now. Chucky's on the left, Shillington's on the right. Go back to the box. Now they switched again. And they're just like, they're beaking with Kane back and forth. Chucky's giving it to him, eh?
You poor bastard.
You poor bastard. And then you see the other one, he's like, rubbing his fingers together. You want some money? Eh? You need some money, bud? And then Chucky comes out of the box while Kane and Shillington are just sitting there still waiting for the whistle to go. And Chucky scores, you know, the insurance marker. Which, when you're at the dome, you're like, okay, that was offside. And you're sitting there like, are they gonna count that? Because you're really worried about everything at this point. And in my head, I'm like, well, I think that if it goes off, if the Oilers brings the puck back in, you can be as offside as you want, right?
Yep.
That's the rule.
That's the rule.
That's what happened. It was lovely that it was on a Draisaitl turnover. He didn't look that great in game one, I thought. And I know he's battling through an injury. I do work with an Oilers fan, and I asked him. He says he's probably at about 70%. Looks fucking fine in game two to me, but you love it that it's on a Draisaitl turnover while Kane's in the box. Then Shillington, you get that little screenshot of Shillington.
That whole freaking game was like a meme. Like, jeez.
Then Chucky gets the hat trick. Meanwhile, you got Brady, Tkachuk. Now he's in the stands.
Just like hyping the crowd.
Pounding beers, high-fiving fans. Well, I don't know. We should have a discussion on this because let's talk about the controversial play that isn't, right? Because the ruling is you're allowed to pick which player comes out first. Dude,
like, I don't know how people thought this was controversial.
Because on the broadcast, they're nonstop going on about it. Tkachuk wasn't supposed to come out.
Fuck, I didn't hear that. I don't know if I was just too happy or too blissed out, but this is pretty standard stuff, I thought. And I mean, you could even see Chucky, like, okay, let's say you don't know that's a rule. I think intuitively as an NHL fan, you maybe kind of pick up on that because you can see before, like, I saw Chucky in the box and he's like pointing at the bench and he's like, me? I was like, yeah, he gets the signal. So I was like, yeah, they want Tkachuk to come out of the box first. It seemed all the confusion came from Oilers, butthurt Oilers fans.
Well,
and butthurt Oilers media.
and the jerk off Oilers media broadcast.
Oh, Tkachuk wasn't supposed to come out of the box. And then BX is in the intermission. He's like, yeah, it's a pretty standard rule that happened to me. No, like, oh, he didn't know that rule. Still, it's not fair. Me,
I didn't know that rule because I'd never seen it play out like that.
Like, I mean, I don't think I knew
it would take a butthurt Oilers fan base and jerk off media to point that out. Right? Well, like, would that ever happen against another team? Maybe in a playoff game, but regular season, you'd never fucking know.
I even commented to people I was watching the game. I was like, that's fucking brilliant by Daryl. Like, of course you want Tkachuk on the ice before Shillington. I mean, I don't know if I knew the rule exactly that, but I knew they could pick whoever came out of the box first, which I guess is the rules. Makes sense. It seems pretty... Seems intuitive as a hockey rule anyways. I don't know why anybody would think there's something wrong with that.
Then Chucky scores the empty netter to ice the game. The hats come raining down. The Oilers fans shut the fuck up. Keith Tkachuk holds onto his hat.
Dude, Brady's got a Kool-Aid. Like, he's got to be, what is it, May, June, July, August, September? He's got to be ready to roll for September, man. He's going to be looking like Keith if he keeps...
Look at him. He's fucking jacked.
Keeps this up. Jeez.
Okay. Your opinion on it, because I know it's definitely weird.
I mean, this is what I was saying to people. Like, people are like, it's not weird. It's like, it's weird. I didn't say it's bad.
Yeah, there's no way it's not weird, dude.
It's like... Because I know Darren Haynes tweeted, like, he got fucking roasted for this. He was like, am I the only one that finds this odd? And everyone's like, yeah, fuck you, Darren.
Dude, I roasted him.
You just support, yeah.
I roasted him because it's Darren Haynes, dude.
You roast him all the time. But this is why I felt the need to stand up for Darren, because we've roasted him plenty ourselves. But, everyone's like, no, he's just supporting his brother, you asshole. It's like, I don't think there's any, nobody has a problem with it, but it's just it's like, I keep saying this. Wouldn't it be freaking insane if Mark Stone is in the Saddle Dome stands fucking pounding Budweiser's?
Yes.
Cheering on Mark Stone. It'd be weird if the captain of the Vegas Golden Knights was in the stands getting hammered, going nuts for our team. It's weird. It's odd. It's cool, but it's weird. You don't see that.
Dude, listen. Whenever I see him on TV, I'm just like, I cannot believe, I say it to myself every time, I cannot believe that a captain of another team in the NHL is in the stands cheering for the Flames.
It's weird.
But it is cool.
No, it's amazing. But it's just, I don't understand how people don't think it's like an anomaly that's crazy.
Now, look, if the Senators are relevant, it's maybe different.
Like, if he's the captain of the Canucks or like the Oilers and you're not playing the Oilers.
Oh, man. Like, yes, the Senators have been bottom of the league since he's joined the league. So, and these two teams are the furthest from fucking having a rivalry. There's no
history. Yeah, because Ottawa owns us every freaking time we play them.
They did ask Daryl about it, didn't they?
Yeah, he said it's just his brother. It's just family. His brother supporting his brother. The best part of that quote, though.
Well, yeah, because the media is saying, you brothers, what were you doing when fucking your brothers were winning cups, right? You probably could remember better what his answer was.
It was awesome. Like, well, if I was out, I was at home on the farm. It's May long. It's like, you don't congratulate your brothers when they come.
There, you know, when you're out, you're the one going to help dad plant the crop.
He's been on fire with his like Alberta unity shit this last week. Like, this guy has brought the not even the province, the country together more than anybody. Like, I think he had everybody in Alberta just like on the same page on the game before game one.
You don't fucking love this guy.
Like, he's He's just like, this is great for Alberta. This shit has happened. This is amazing. It's not even a battle. He's like, what brings Albertans together historically? Sports, church, music. Holy shit. I love that guy.
He's the best. Dude, is he not going to win the Jack Adams? How is he not?
Dude, he's going to win the Jack Adams, and he just is up there saying, yeah, I don't want it. Give it to the other guy. I don't need it.
I love how he even calls out. You should give it to a coach that had a raw deal.
Dude.
Like, Gallant. Got a raw deal in Vegas.
Raw deal in Florida.
Raw deal in Florida.
Listen, like, I know we talk about Daryl a lot, but like, if you're not watching Daryl Sutter's every time he's interviewed or has a presser, you're missing out on so much just like hockey knowledge, hockey truth bombs.
Yeah. So post game, Kane goes off a bit and says something to the effect of, we got to start going after their star players because, you know. And the best response I saw from that was on Twitter, where someone's like, go after meeting clean body checking. That's basically all that they did to McDavid. There was three big clean body checks in the first period. Hey,
you can't do that, okay?
That's not allowed, okay?
Remember when you used to be able to literally murder Sidney Crosby and he was told to shut up and stop whining? But
didn't he just get cheap shot again this last series?
Yeah, like Sidney Crosby has the best player, in my opinion, still second best player of all time, has like been concussed more times than you can count.
Do you imagine
if McDavid nobody gives a shit?
Imagine if McDavid got hit like that.
Dude, they did a freaking like RCMP investigation when Gio just like made a play and he broke his leg because he's going in 700 miles an hour. Imagine if he got hit like Sid. Imagine if he took half the abuse Sid took in his career.
This guy takes no abuse, dude. Give me a fucking break. That's the other thing about this fucking idiot. A whiny bitch.
Dude, he whines all the time. It's ridiculous.
Dude, and he dives like
That's what I can't stand.
He dives, yet complains about calls and non-calls. It's just like, dude, if you're going to sit there and complain all game, don't be fucking diving all game too. Like, give me a fucking break.
Yeah, I can't stand it.
We used to have a whiner chant for Gretzky. We got to get a diver chant for this guy, dude.
Like, it's embarrassing, man. Like,
dude, he is. He's an embarrassment.
Like, that's embarrassing.
If you're that good, just like, don't be embarrassing, please. He's embarrassing in so many levels.
And then Johnny's the one getting the diving penalty, though.
Okay. Yeah. Dude, the officiating last game was absolutely atrocious.
Dude, it ruined. It didn't even ruin the game. It destroyed that hockey game last night.
Did you see, was it Jamie McCowan?
Yeah.
Like, you have NHL alumni who would probably just, when the fuck would they ever come out? Like, they're talking about how bad that was last game. Even Oilers fans were complaining.
Dude, and I mean, get,
They got the bulk of the calls. I like how they're like, no, we got two goals called back. Well, actually, no, one was reviewed. And there was goaltender interference. Yeah, but we got a call back. It's like, all right, so if I come down and slash the goalie right in the neck, right before my guy, that's, you're going to complain that it got called back? Yeah. That was interference.
And I don't understand Oilers fans because, like, I thought the calls were shitty both ways. Daryl even said so. We're not even just talking about the 19 disallowed goals. We're talking about the stupid penalties. We're talking about the 4-on-4 bullshit. Like, that ruined the game. Whether or not you're a fan of the Oilers or the Flames, that ruined the game. And it ruined the game for the Flames specifically because it gives the Oilers such an advantage when they have a freak on the ice who can skate at the speed of light. It's all, you know what? It's almost worse when it's 4-on-4. Like, honestly. It's almost harder to defend. I think it is because he's got more room. Like, you don't need the extra guy. McDavid on the ice versus four guys is like, he just has more room than when he's got extra Oilers guys.
It's not, you don't practice 4-on-4 very often. Why would you?
Yeah.
Why would you? Like, how many times have you seen 4-on-4 all season long? How many times have you seen in the last 4 weeks?
I don't remember seeing it once
all season long.
I can pretty much guarantee the Flames have played more 4-on-4 in the playoffs than they played all season. I feel that's absolutely true, even though I have no clue.
Has to be.
But, dude, like, every single call, like, and it's not even disruptive to the game. Like, okay, just call the freaking rule book. That's what's insane to me. That's what's just so annoying is that it's 1-1, 1-1. Like, Lindholm gets Lindholm. Like, there was at least four or five blatant penalties that the Flames should have gotten power plays out of. And I can't even complain too much because the power play sucks so bad. And that was my takeaway, is like, hey, the officiating ruined that game for the most part, but I can't even be too mad because there were so many other, the Flames power play sucks anyways. And they just made so many dumb mistakes that cost them goals. But like, come on, you can't call a game like, you can't call a sport like that. Like, it ruins the whole game. Like, if that's your first hockey game watching that, like, that's pathetic. It's an embarrassment.
It is.
Like, to see that the calls are only based on game management. Like, oh, I can't even, dude.
Who was the other official?
I thought it was Wes McCauley, but Chris Lee, who is the dipshit, who apparently, like, everyone hates this guy. Everyone knows he's a moron. Like, even this, did you see the Stone penalty where he thought it was Shillington?
Yep.
And then he gets a 4-minute penalty, and then it's Stone. Somebody screenshotted it.
Oh, dude, this guy has always been so bad, dude.
He's terrible. He fucked the Canadians a few years. Like, he's
like
if you just Google his name, it's like, it's just like he gets massacred.
I'm just
so bad.
Speaking from the Flames, watching the Flames in the last 5 to 8 seasons, this guy has always fucked us, man. Always. And
I thought Daryl had some really good comments about it. I don't understand how you can't criticize officiating as a, like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard without getting fined. But Daryl says officiating had a major impact on the game last night, particularly the 4v4 and the 4-on-4 against us. And he was talking about how you expect the officiating to be at a level of excellence in the playoffs, because he said it's the best players, it's the best teams, should be the best officials.
It's because the worst.
And he's talking about how, like, there's been so much turnover over the past 2 years, and you have all these young guys officiating. Like, he's not pleased, dude.
But why is this guy so bad? Because, I mean, I recognized him early on. I'm like, oh, fuck, we got this guy. This is before I even knew anything about Chris Lee. Now I realize everybody hates him.
Listen,
who is the other one? Do you know?
Oh, I thought it was Wes. I'm going to look it up right now, but
there's got to be. You'll figure out how to find it.
It'll be on the box. Guy. It'll be on the box score.
I'm looking at the box score. I didn't see it.
I would have known if I had looked at the. If I had not been depressed, like when the Flames lose, especially the Oilers, and especially in playoffs, I can't, like, watching highlights, dude. It's not something I can do.
Look, the biggest thing for me, like, I just don't understand this. We tied the game up, but then the goal gets called back. And you're sitting there and you're watching, you're like, you're cheering, and you're like, oh, what the fuck? He's calling it off. Okay, well, at least it's gonna get reviewed, right? This makes no sense to me as an NHL rule. Because if you watch the replay, at 0 point in time, not even for a fucking millisecond, was the puck covered by Mike Smith. Like, that puck was loose the entire time from whenever it hit him and there's a rebound to the time that it was put in the back of the net. But because the ref blew the whistle, it's no goal. You should be able to review that. I don't understand that because the ref got the call wrong, but he got the call wrong, so he ended the play before the puck went in, it's no goal. It makes zero fucking sense.
Well, it makes zero sense in the fact you can't review it. Like, what, you can review goalie interference? That's a ref mistake, isn't it?
That is leading to a goal. Like, these are goals. This is the game tying goal. And you can't review a mistake by the ref. And the rule, as I understand it, is even as soon as because there's this discrepancy, right? If the whistle blows, and it makes sense to me that if the goalie has the puck covering it, or he's laying on top of it, and ref goes to blow the whistle, but while he's doing it, some guy is just kind of jamming at it, and the puck comes loose and it goes in. He didn't have a fucking cover at all. Mike Smith had no clue where the fucking puck was.
And it was clearly loose, is what is so infuriating.
So that should be reviewable, because the point is the whistle should not have gone, but it went. But that's a mistake by the ref, so it should be reviewable.
Well, and here's what's more annoying is the reverse is true, because in an instance where a puck goes in, but a ref calls a goal off because he had the intent to blow the whistle. Why does that rule exist? Because the ref made a mistake. Oh, I didn't blow the whistle, right? So it's no goal. So I don't understand why the inverse is true. It's like, I shouldn't have blown the whistle. Therefore, the result of the play, I can make a discretionary call on. That's what I don't get these rules.
It's just like, why don't they review that?
It seems like,
isn't that weird?
It seems like
you have all these things they should
review, they never review.
You have all these reviews. You're so concerned if a fucking
toe is play offside, is, millimeter play offside. Is
literally 2 millimeters offside. You're so concerned with that. Yet here you have a blatant mistake by the ref who can't see it. And he's probably at an angle where he can't. So why can't you review that? Like the back official doesn't blow the whistle. When the goaltender covers the puck, it's the guy down low. You're telling me he can see the puck at all times? How many mistakes could there possibly be? And of course, I mean, this is what Don Cherry always say: just wait till it happens in the playoffs, and it decides the game.
And decides the Stanley Cup eventually is what's going to happen.
Imagine that play. Nobody's talking about this. You get all this controversy about a fucking rule that was actually correct, where the Flames could pick the guy, but the broadcast doesn't know it, so they make a big stink out of it. So you get all that fucking controversy, but you don't get any on a fucking play like this. I haven't heard anybody talk about this.
Yeah.
It's like that should have been reviewed. That would have made the game 4-4. Game could have went a different way.
Game would have went a different way.
Because it was shortly after that when it was 5-3 and the game was done. Like, how old is this?
I just don't get it. Like, how you can fuck that up twice in a game. Like, is it that hard to figure out when the puck is loose and in the crease and available to be put in the net? Like, it's that difficult if you're a professional referee. I'm so sick of people being like, oh, they have such a hard job. No, they don't. Maybe it's hard, but it can't be that hard. And if it is that hard, review it. Like,
why isn't that reviewable?
Like, this is ridiculous.
How old is the league? It's over 100 years old. How long have we had replay now? And that's not reviewable.
Figure it out. Figure it out. No fucking like, seriously, absurd. Figure it out. Because that's a huge turning point. Like, not even a turning point. That's the game right there.
But yeah, pretty much. So did you see Kane go after Johnny early in the game?
Not really, no.
Because I saw him.
It's
in the first period. It was in the first. It was in the first period in our own end.
I saw him get hit by somebody.
Kind of on Johnny's wing. He made a point to go after him and hit him. Like, whatever it is, it's whatever. But I kind of felt like Johnny. It's not that he disappeared, but it's like he didn't have that same edge.
He didn't have the game breaking. He didn't elevate for the rest of the game, maybe.
No, exactly. And that's where we're at now, is like going into game 3, Connor McDavid's beating us. We need Johnny to elevate. Like, we need to. He has to respond.
Yeah, he doesn't have to win this series on his own. But like you saw, like I said, McDavid, that goal he scores is like a fuck you, I'm scoring goal. Like, we need some plays like that from the big boys.
Yeah, you guys scores at will.
Yeah.
When he wills it, he can score anytime he wants. It's ridiculous. So you're sitting, here we go, all over again. Going into game 2, you're there, I'm there. Essentially, I'm sitting the exact same seats, one row lower. Early in the game, Michael Stone is fucking taking bombs from the point. Johnny's feeding him. I like this little combo. Gets past Smith. Early one goal game. Mike Stone scoring on Mike Smith. Brett Ritchie scoring again on Mike Smith. You're up 2-0. Crowd's going bonkers. You're in Smith's head. You got all the momentum. You're just like, fuck, we're going to beat these losers again. And then some of the calls start happening.
Penalty parade.
Penalty. It slows the game. Now you're spending all this time in your end. It's just like we never continue. We never were able to kind of continue that flow. And then
here's the pinpoint moment when that happened. Michael Backlund gets the puck on his stick on a breakaway.
Oh my God, dude.
Could have made it 3-0. Doesn't even get a shot off. And then the penalty parade started in from that. That was like the turning point in the game.
Is it bad that I don't even get mad anymore?
No, I'm just like, yep.
Yeah, that's what I'm
that's what I'm expecting, like, actually.
Yeah. Like that is bad.
It should be too harsh because that line was freaking great. Well, I don't know if they were great. Like they kind of got into some trouble in their own zone last night, but for the most part, that line has been phenomenal. They were the best line on the ice in game one.
In game one, yeah. They were in as good a game two. No one was as good. The Oilers played well after they got the momentum handed back to them by the officials, which is part of what the officials like to do, game management.
And that's part of how the Oilers play, which is like, I don't know if you're an Oilers. We're at the game and we're saying, like, we don't even like watching the Oilers play because all they do is just like screw around, hang on for dear life until McDavid's on the ice 5-on-5, get a penalty, fart around, score on the power play.
Yeah.
That's it. They don't really even play hockey. They just like, kind of screw around until it's boring.
Their game plan is dive.
Yeah.
Try and get some calls and we'll beat him on the power play.
Pretty
or just give it to McDavid.
He can win Connor. The game for us. Let's give it to Connor.
But the penalty parade totally switched the game around. Fuck, I don't know how Duncan Keith scores on you, man.
Well, like that's Markstrom, a goal. Yeah.
Markstrom is in some sort of place, eh? Right
he's now. Duncan Keith, worst defenseman on the Edmonton Oilers. And I mean, that's a play like we were talking about with Smith. Like, okay, why are you on your knees? Why are you deep in your net? Why are you getting beat 5-hole by Duncan Keith, bud? It's like, I get that's a good play by McDavid, although he's holding Rasmus's stick, but you can't let that go in.
Then you're like, we're not, you know, Toffoli gets a power play goal, classic Toffoli goal.
Well, and that was a classic Flames too, like, because like I said, yeah. I was on easy. They get that one. I was like, okay, that's time. Yeah. It's time to see a good old fashioned Flames close down the next 40 minutes.
So you have 3-1. You're like, yeah, we're good. And then McDavid pulls that shit on fucking Zadorov. And then you have the, like you said, they got a review. Who high-sticked the guy? Like, you sure you made the call right in the first place if you don't even know who fucking made? Like,
and
who
called? Isn't the high-stick rule, like, above a certain shoulder length? And, like, Yamamoto is, like, 2 feet tall, and he's crouched over. Stone stick is not technically high on that play if you look at it.
Well, this was I can't remember what game it was. It was, like, a couple nights ago. But it was late in the game. And there's a guy in the middle of the ice. Fuck, I wish I could remember what team it was. You might remember. There's a guy in the middle of the ice, and you know how like you're in the middle of the ice, and there's two guys kind of battling, and there's loose puck or whatever. And then one guy turns around and kind of swings a stick. And so on the follow-through, but he hits the guy in the face. But here's the thing. The guy that he hit in the face was falling down, and he called a high stick, but his stick was only 2 feet off the ice.
Exactly.
But it hit the guy in the face, so it's a high stick. It's like, no, that's not a high stick. That's a low stick.
Why don't they just change the rule to stick in the face?
Yeah, there you go. That makes more sense. Again, NHL. This is like, maybe you'd have less fans bitching about fucking officiating if the fucking game made sense.
If it made sense, game to game, if it made sense, period to period, if it made sense, shift to shift, that would probably definitely help.
If you can get a high sticking penalty when your stick's literally below your knees, why is it called high sticking then?
Stick to the face.
Stick to the face. if you can pitchfork somebody directly into the nuts in a, what is the epitome of a spearing motion, why is it a slash?
What about when you slew foot somebody and almost killed them, and then probably that's where Chris Tanev partially got injured.
Yep, probably.
And nothing happens. What do you call that then?
That's just a good old fashioned body check.
Yeah, that's just playoff hockey, man.
Yeah, when you tie the game late in the fucking playoffs, round two of the playoffs. But I know the puck was loose, but I didn't know. So
too bad. I didn't know. Sorry, guys, my job's really hard, guys.
The point is, I didn't know, but that's too bad for you, not me. Too bad for you.
Sorry. I know it'll only cost you the series, but
some people, like, he must have been bleeding. Some people were like, don't you need to bleed?
I didn't. Double minor. I guess I was there. I couldn't see from, but it didn't show fucking replay, so I couldn't tell.
So anyways, Bouchard, of course, scores with 2 goals and 1 second left.
Cross-eyed McGee over there.
Okay, can we talk about, like, is this the ugliest sports team of all time?
Dude, we haven't even talked about Puljujärvi.
The guy's head is upside down.
He looks
like typically your head, like, you know, kind of the width of it narrows in toward your chin. It's fucking opposite. There's like a fucking cartoon character out there. That's good. Like, he is a caricature.
Dude, you couldn't even draw him as a cartoon. You literally couldn't.
If if he went to, you know, you go down to the pier and you get a caricature drawn yourself. They just draw him.
It's the exact same.
They don't need to draw a caricature. Then you got fucking Darnell Nurse. Half his face is falling off.
Is he okay?
Why is half his face missing?
Why do you need some ointment, bud? Like, geez, dude.
Now that he's trying to grow out the playoff beard, I realize just his forehead. It's his fucking lip, too. Do we know what happened? I guess I should ask that Oilers fan. I know. What is wrong with Darnell's face?
Well, I mean, Bouchard is like cross-eyed. Just all get out, dude.
Dude, how does he even play hockey that
cross? Like, it makes me dizzy to even just look at him.
Like, which eye is he looking at when he shoots?
Obviously, that's why Markstrom had such a hard time with the shot, because he's like looking. He got a lazy eye. He's like,
yeah, they're like Markstrom, blasted what,
5-hole.
Markstrom, what happened there? He was going corner. Like, I mean, corner in the boards. Not even corner, not corner of the net, corner where the fans sit. That's where he was looking. I couldn't read it.
But to me,
pouty pants, fucking dry side. Like, it looks like a 16-year-old fucking teenage girl.
He looks like he's straight out of Twilight with his hair all gelled. Who
was the guy that hooked Toffoli? Was that him?
That's Nurse. Hooked him. Fucking.
Of course it was.
Slash him in the face. And somehow the Flames got two penalties out of that.
That's a low stick. So
that was a good one. Oh yeah, that was
low sticking.
That's below. Below his shoulder.
That's a legal play. It's called low sticking. It was a hook to the neck is right. Not an actual official penalty.
That's right.
If it was hooking near the hands,
yeah. Stabbing in the neck with a stick during non play time.
We don't have a call for that. So
yeah, it's not in the rule book.
Not in the rule book. No. I mean, we already talked about Dougie McDavid. We've gone on about the coach. This is the weirdest fucking looking team of all time, dude. I'm sure of it.
The weirdest thing is, like, with the Oilers, like, I still don't know who half those guys are. Like, McLeod, who is that? Hey, we didn't even mention Derek Ryan.
Is McLeod on the team?
Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse?
Mickey Mouse, the Mormon version. Oh.
Oh, so then you have you're still no it's tie game now. Bouchard scores, ties game up.
And to me, that's the one Markstrom needed to have, like, because the penalty kill. And it's like, I know it's easy for me to say when it's freaking clap on from the point, but
listen, man, he should not have that much time and space. Like, you're watching against Dallas and even the Oilers. We're not getting pucks through. They're getting blocked.
Yeah.
But Hanifin,
dude, getting blocked. They're getting blocked and they score on a breakaway shorthanded. They're only getting blocked. They ended up in the back of our own freaking net.
I got a problem with Hanifin on that play because,
oh, dude,
that Hanifin has to step up. I know it exposes guy down low, but someone's got to take him. And if he's not going to come and take him, you got to at least get in the fucking lane and then get down and block it. Terrible block attempt by Hanifin there. Oh, and then he fucking, like you said, you're the power play again. Our power play is so good, we're getting scored on now. That was a great shot by Hyman, though. At least he actually beat Markstrom this time. Didn't fucking shoot it through him.
Yeah. Dude, yeah, fuck, dude. I find it hard to play Markstrom. It's like you want him to make a big save, but when the Flames are making as dumb as mistakes as they did, like, oh, yeah, I'm like, that was just dumb mistakes. Those breakaway goals, they were just dumb mistakes.
So
like,
let's compare the two breakaways, though. You got Hyman, and you got Backlund. Which one did you like more? I love how it's like you're round two. He's actually been playing good. Backlund had a great first series against Dallas.
Great game one.
He's playing pretty decent in game two. And he gets a fucking breakaway. No shot. Puck was in the corner.
I don't even think he wasn't. No shot attempt even.
Nope. Just deke into the corner.
Yeah.
There wasn't even anybody on him.
Oopsies. Dude, like,
no back pressure. Zero. Mike
Smith is like, what?
Like Hyman, you have guys skating as fast as humanly possible trying to catch you. I still think Johnny should have dove. You at least
you got to prevent
some sort of challenge. You got to give him some sort of challenge, even if you have to take a penalty. But you got Michael Backlund, on the other hand. All right, so where are you at?
Well, I should just quickly correct my high stick thought. I looked up the actual rule. It still doesn't make sense because, like you said, could just be low sticking at any point. A high stick is one which is carried above the height of the opponent's shoulders. So why don't they just call it stick to the face? Because your face is above your shoulders. If you get a stick in the face, it should be a penalty, I guess, no matter where your stick is. Don't call it high sticking.
Yeah, or Ben. He's sticking
ball sticking.
Ben's sticking his face into Mangiapane. You're sticking a stick into Mangiapane's face through the net.
Yeah.
But that's not spearing. What is it then? If it's not stick to the face, because that penalty doesn't exist, it's not high sticking. What is it? Being a dick?
2 minutes for being a dick.
He was fined for his actions. Okay, well, what was the action?
So, yeah.
He speared a guy in the face. Albeit, you know, gently. He's just being a dick.
Gently, there was no call on the play. My favorite thing is, like, if you do a cross-section of how many fines are given out post-game with how many of those fines were assessed penalties in the game, it's very seldom are they both.
Yeah, right? Well, if
like,
you get
it. It's always like, penalty. Oh, yeah, we missed the fact that a guy speared a guy in a scrum. We missed that. We were too busy trying to find Matthew Tkachuk because he, like, face-washed a guy. So, yeah, we missed that. Sorry, guys. We also missed that blatant slew foot that probably broke Chris Tanev's back.
Yeah.
I know we got fined $10,000, the maximum allowed under the cap. We missed that one. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. Oops. We know your team probably, you know, could have released a power play in that moment of the game, but at least he got fined.
At least he got fined. So,
all right, man. We're tied 1-1. Heading back to Edmonton. I don't know. I honestly don't know what to expect at all.
Neither. I like the first two games. I know they've been very different in like outcome score, but they have felt very similar in like you were talking about, like storylines, not knowing what to expect. Game one being a game where you win, but there's some like, man, like, geez, you like against Dallas is like, you barely got you, like, that was tight. Holy shit. We're going to have to be sharper next game. And against Edmonton's game one, is like you blew a 6-2 lead. You gave up 6 even strength goals. Holy cow. So it's like, okay, you scored 9-1, but there's still some things that like came. Yikes, maybe. And then game two is a bit of a letdown in both of these series. Even though you played them 5-on-5 in both of these series. in game two, you're still left like, holy shit, what was that about? What was with that effort? What was with some details? Why are you making so many mistakes? That's my question after the game two is like, kind of similar to the thing I was bitching about with Dallas is like, these are games you can win. Like that, the Flames had that game.
Yeah.
And how many times have you seen this team this year blow a game like that? Like never, it never happens.
They blew two goal leads.
Back-to-back games, they just blew leads. You never see them do that.
One thing I noticed in game two, they weren't very physical.
Oh, dude, that was a freaking no hitter. I didn't even see a hit.
Were there any hits thrown? Sure, there were, but there was a couple.
They didn't have their freaking like mojo, or they weren't playing their game how they usually play it. Like maybe for a few stretches, like at the first period was, yeah, maybe not as physical as they were in game one.
But they had their mojo until the parade of the building blocks happened. Yeah, but
they did and screwed up the flow.
But if you know Drysdale's injured.
Yeah. Go after him. Dude, didn't you hear Nurse is like playing with some rib injury that needs surgery?
Yeah.
Hit him.
Hit him!
Every chance you get, hit him. But I don't know. Like, that's what's frustrating for me is like, okay, you should and could have been up 2-0. And I know that's a shit game last night when the officiating literally ruined the game. You still had a 2-0 lead. You still had a 3-1 lead. Your power play sucked. You couldn't find a way to tie that game. You made just stupid mental errors that led to the Oilers' fourth and fifth goals. So that's just like, that's not characteristic of the Flames. And that's where it's like, kind of like I said with the Ottinger thing is like, Kate, McDavid hasn't stole them a game on his own yet. I mean, the dude did have 4 points in game one and was insane for portions of game two.
Well, he is the only reason why they're in the series.
Oh, absolutely.
He literally the only reason.
But if
he has, without him,
you just even, kind of, yeah.
Even Hyman, like he had the two goals and the one there. Now you take away all McDavid's points.
Yeah, they are nothing. But you got to expect, I have this feeling like you kind of have to give the Oilers one game where they're going to go off for like 7 or 8 goals. Maybe they already did with the 6. But, you know, like they always, they're so fucking high scoring. Like they beat LA like 8-2 that one game. Like I'm kind of worried there's going to be a game like that. So it's just like these games that are winnable that you let slip away.
Yeah,
are maddening, but at the same time, it's like the Flames are so much of a better team that I'm not super worried.
Well, on the other, we're talking about this balance of the scales. Yes, that's the biggest solid thing we have. We have the better coach.
Dude, Woodcroft has coached, like somebody said the stat today, I can't remember it, but it was like he's coached less games than Daryl Sutter has like playoff wins by like a huge margin.
Yeah, on paper you have the better goalie. We got Markstrom needs to be better.
Markstrom needs to have yeah.
He was better in game two, but he was still not
fucking. He wasn't the best goalie on the ice.
What is he injured now?
Dude, like
maybe he's battling something.
He needs to have a game, at least one game, where he's the best goalie in this series. I think this is when you're going to lean on your veteran guys. Like, boy, it sure be nice to have Tanev back right now, man. That's the other thing that I think is maybe concerning me more than I'm letting on because I don't want to, like, speak it to an existence is, like, okay, I thought Anderson and Hanifin struggled against the Stars. Connor McDavid is eating them for lunch in this series.
Yeah, are you surprised? You got Hanifin.
No.
And it's Hanifin like, doesn't have the mental speed to keep up with fucking McDavid, and Rasmus Anderson doesn't have the fucking physical.
And it's
speed.
Just like all I was thinking last night was like, "Fuck, do I wish Gio was out there?" Like Gio could handle this. Gio could blow his knee out,
right?
Ah!
Gio could injure him. Just
but like, dude, honestly, like that's what I was thinking. It was like that crossed my mind because all year I've been saying like, okay, like every time this Flames start to struggle, I'm like, see, they miss Gio and then they bounce back and Hanifin and Anderson have a few solid games. But I was like, I'm always like, that's like a, like walking on thin ice for me all the time. I'm just always like scared that it's going to like, they're going to just fall off at any given moment. I mean, when you're playing the best player on the earth, it's different, but like pairing of Gio and Tanev, like, fuck, I was like, man, they should have traded for Gio instead of Yarncroc at the deadline. Jeez.
Yeah, my list of things here is we need a response. Daryl needs to help this team respond. Yeah. I think like we need a response to to how we're playing.
The thing is, they just need to play their freaking game. Like, I don't know what it is with the Oilers, and I guess it's playing McDavid, but they just cheat. Like, I don't know. They play differently when they play him.
Yeah, it's true. It's a difference. It's a way. It's night. The series is night and day. Dude. You had Dallas who wasn't trying to score.
Yeah.
They're just trying to defend. Now you have Edmonton, who's mainly just trying to score. They got guys that are blowing the lanes and blowing the zones. They're trying to stretch out the D-men. They're taking a lot of fucking chances, right?
Well,
doing their run and gun, and we shouldn't be running gunning with them. That's not how we can beat these guys.
Well, I think the one adjustment that Calgary does need to make in the offensive zone is, like, I think it's why Edmonton's getting all these breakaways, is they're pressuring the D tons, and they're just, like, way too slow. They just get it low. Cycle the shit out of them. Those guys suck at defense. Keep it low. Like, I know the Oilers know that the Flames love point shots and that the D love to actively pinch when the puck is coming up the board, so they're full-on pressuring the points. So there's room down low. Just get it low.
Do you think Stone is going to last in this, the longer this
series goes on? Oh, man,
look, he's been really effective. He's very physical, but
it's only, like, dude, he, like, again, for as great as he is in stepping in, he's not a sixth defenseman. He's not an NHL regular for a reason.
That's the biggest
and he's playing four right now with a guy who also is struggling, I think, in Shillington without Tanev.
Yeah, he's struggling without Tanev big time.
So I don't know what's wrong with Tanev. Like, obviously the guy took a fucking beating in the Dallas series.
You're right, man. It probably was the fucking slew foot.
It was one of those things. Like, didn't he get slew footed twice? Like, dude got and he took most hits in that series. Like, I don't know if he's coming back. I wouldn't count on it.
Well, he is skating, so it's got to be an upper body.
Yeah, it's got to be an upper body. Like,
maybe he broke another rib.
Yeah.
Who fucking knows?
But that is a real. You'd need your best defense. You need the best shutdown defenseman in probably the league.
Yeah. Fuck. Bad timing. Really bad timing. We got to find a way. Like, the team as a whole, I think, needs to respond. It's got to start with Daryl down. We got to get back to what the team does, right?
You got to get back to Flames hockey. Like, that's all you need to do, man.
So Markstrom's got to play better. Yarncroc's got to score one fucking goal as a Calgary Flame, please. One. Just get one. How many games has he played now?
28, 26.
Like, could you fuck off with playing 30 games and not scoring one goal? Playing in the fucking top nine. You're playing with Dubé and Toffoli.
Brett Ritchie has more goals than you do, bud. Like, by three.
Brett Ritchie is slaughtering you in the goal department, bro.
Michael Stone is slaughtering you in the goal department.
Dude, this guy needs to score a goal so bad. It's not even fucking funny. Okay, so we're going to Edmonton. I am curious to see what happens as the series shifts to the road. I don't want to make any predictions, but what do you think is going to happen in the next two games? Are we going to see the Calgary Flames get back to Calgary Flames hockey?
Well, we expected them to have a big game three in the Dallas series, and I want, like, every series is different. Every game is different. I feel like the road is always where the Flames can kind of get back on track, because
kind of how I feel too.
It's always like, yeah, they can just play simply, which I think has been a thing at home in the playoffs. Absolutely. They're a little too eager to please the crowd and stuff. I don't know what to expect. Like, in the pit of my stomach, I'm like expecting like a freaking one of these Oilers 8-0 games or 8-2 games where they just go off. And like, McDavid has the most points of any player ever to play in the freaking game. I don't know if it's going to be close. Like, the thing is, like, the Flames just, they are so much better 5-on-5. Like, the Oilers are not a good team. Like, the Flames could eat, the Flames, if they play their game, could and should take the next two games and, like, be able to wrap this thing up pretty quickly. But just the way things have been called, and it's just so up in the air. I have no clue what to expect tomorrow night. No clue. Could be Oilers could win 8-0, and I'd be like, yeah. Flames could grind out a 2-1 win. Flames could dominate. I don't know. I honestly don't know, because this officiating variable is just, like, so unpredictable game to game.
Oh, man, you're right. Officiating, like, fuck right off. Okay, last question before we jump off. Do you think Markstrom bounces back?
He's got to. I think he will. He's done it all year.
Yeah, you're right. And so it's the same thing with the Flames team. They've responded all year. I do think we'll see a good response in game three, but I just don't know if it's going to be enough to beat Connor McDavid.
Piece of shit.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.